Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today. This is Dr. Ruth. Awesome. We continue today with my expository verse by verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. Welcome to today's session. It's going to be awesome. Okay, we are in Luke chapter 2 today. Hopefully you have listened to the previous sessions, because today the gist of these upcoming verses in Luke chapter 2 is that we will learn about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is awesome. Okay, now, if you had listened to the previous session in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, I discussed how the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary and informed her that she would be supernaturally become pregnant by God the Holy Spirit. And then she would bore a son called the Son of God. So that passage of scripture, Luke 1, 26 through 38, I had said is called the Annunciation. Hopefully you recall, okay? So before I even get into these verses here in Luke chapter 2, we will find out how that message that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary come to pass. And just so you know, if you are not aware, Mary was engaged to Joseph. The two of them did not have sexual relations. Obviously, it was against the law of Moses back then. And the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary, as discussed in Luke 1, 26 through 38, to tell her that she would become pregnant. She was highly favored and she had been chosen by God to be the woman to be pregnanted by God the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus' conception by God the Holy Spirit means that the Lord Jesus at his conception bypassed that sinful nature. Again, remember Joseph and Mary did not have sex, and Mary was found to be pregnant supernaturally by God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus' conception is divine. The Lord Jesus is the only human being in the history of the world that experienced this supernatural conception by the Holy Spirit, making him the Son of God, making him God. And Mary was also a human being with flesh and bones as you and I, so was Joseph. They had the sinful nature, but by the Lord Jesus' conception being supernatural, the Lord Jesus did not inherit any sinful seed, any sinful nature from a human being. And as we know, and medical science has backed this up, that during pregnancy, the blood of the fetus and the blood of the mother do not mingle. There is no intermingling of the blood of the fetus and the blood of the mother. There is no crossover. So when the Holy Spirit supernaturally impregnated Mary, in Mary's womb, baby Jesus as a fetus did not partake, did not inherit any of Mary's blood, because God in his wisdom supernaturally created human beings with the ability for the blood of the fetus and the blood of the mother to be separate, no intermingling. Isn't that awesome? So the Lord Jesus was born into this world as God in the flesh and did not inherit any sinful seed from Joseph or from Mary. This is amazing news. Is anything impossible for God? And I know some of you may be wondering, how then would the fetus or the baby get its nutrients? That is a whole different topic I don't want to get into. But scientifically, it is true. The blood of the baby fetus and the blood of the mother do not intermingle in a normal, healthy a pregnancy like Mary had. So the Lord Jesus was conceived supernaturally and was birthed into this world as God in the flesh. And we know that out of John 1, 1 through 14. So now that Mary had received this message from the angel Gabriel, she accepted it, and it is going to happen right now. So now we get into the verses proper. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And keep in mind, at this time, the nation of Israel was subjected, or they were under the Roman Empire dominion. Okay, so this census had been given. Verse 2, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Verse 3, and everyone went to their own town to register. Now, why was the census issued? The census was issued for two main reasons. Number one, for a head count of potential or possible Romans who would engage in military combat. And number two, for taxation. The Jews being under the Roman emperor government or subjection were not considered to partake in the Roman Empire military army, but they were mandated by the Roman emperor to pay taxes. So this ordinance was crucial. Everybody had to heed to this advice. We are now in verse 4. So Joseph, remember, Joseph is engaged to Mary now. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. This is awesome. History tells us that Joseph and Mary had to travel about 100 miles to get into Bethlehem in accordance with the census. And this is such a perfect time. Caesar Augustus thought he was issuing this decree, not knowing that he was playing right into God's perfect ordained time for the Messiah to be birthed into this world. Friend, a lot of times, the government may order an ordinance, but God would use that for his will to manifest. We are going to learn here how, as a result of the Roman emperor issuing this ordinance for the census, it just fitted the perfect timing of God's will to manifest. So Joseph and Mary had taken this trip about 100 miles and to go to Bethlehem, and it had been prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It had been prophesied that the Messiah would belong in the line of David. I'm going to give you some verses here you can study on your own. Micah 5:2 had prophesied this, and other prophecies you can find about the Messiah coming from the line of David include Isaiah 11:1, Jeremiah 33:15, Ezekiel 37:24, and there are several others. So already we see how prophecies are being fulfilled here surrounding the birth of the Messiah. And if you have listened to my teaching out of the Gospel of Matthew, which really outlined a lot of prophecies, I discuss a lot more prophecies there surrounding the birth of the Messiah. So we pick this up here in verse 5. He went there, this is Joseph along with Mary. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. The time, the perfect time of God, the fulfillment of scripture is happening. The time came for the baby to be born. While they had taken this difficult trip, remember back then they didn't have vehicles like we have today. They didn't have airplanes or ships like we had today. They had to either trek or use a horse or some other means to travel. It just goes to show you something is coming to mind here. This was God's will for Mary and Joseph. Yet we are seeing how they are going through some difficulties for this will of God to come to manifestation. Friend, when God ordains something, when God is calling you to do something to fulfill a purpose, it doesn't mean it will be easy. It means that He will be there to strengthen you. It means that He will be there to lead and guide you. It means that He will be there to protect you. To the extent that you obey Him, He will lead and guide. I know there are many false teachings going around that if it's God's will, it's going to just happen effortlessly. That is a lie. In fact, if it's God's will, you will meet struggles and challenges because the enemy will be there to fight you. So never get confused, never get discouraged when you believe you've heard from God and you are taking a step of faith. You run into struggles, you run into difficulties. That doesn't mean it wasn't God. It just means that you are in the right track. It means that you have to focus and depend on God more because He is going to make it happen in and through you. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. As we are seeing Joseph and Mary, they are going to encounter some challenging times right in the middle of God's will. Friend, let us take heart. God is there to empower us, okay? Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously because this two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So, for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you, and God is so faithful that He will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. So the time has come for the baby to be born. We are now in verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Right away, the Lord Jesus was birthed into this world, wrapped in a manger. And a manger is like a wooden box that they would put food for animals. There was nothing else around. So when Mary gave birth to the Lord Jesus, there was nothing else. They didn't have the fancy hospital beds. The best thing around was a manger, a wooden box, because she gave birth to him in an open field. So she placed baby Jesus in this manger and wrapped him in cloth, a box where they would put food for animal. Come on, somebody. We see the humility of God here. I bet you some of the Old Testament Jews were thinking the Messiah was going to come into this world in a grandeur fashion, but God allowed the Lord Jesus to be birthed in an ordinary, humble way. So we can learn about the humility of God. God is so humble. He does things in ordinary ways. This is awesome. And then also it says there was no room in the inn. Why is that? Because obviously it was the time of the census. Many people were there, probably had taken up all the rooms in the inn. So Mary had to give birth to Jesus in an open field and place him in the manger. I just love this, how God is so ordinary, so humble, that He meets us in our day-to-day mundane living in life. Okay. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. We are going to learn how we see these shepherds. A lot of the Jews were shepherds. We are going to learn how these shepherds were just engaging in their day-to-day activities, and they're going to have an amazing encounter with God. Oh, come on, friend. God meets us at our day-to-day mundane daily living, which is why it's so important that we invite God throughout the day in no matter how mundane or tiny the activity could be, such as taking a shower, talk to God in the bathroom, driving your vehicle, talk to God. Okay? So we are now in verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, meaning an angel appeared to the shepherd, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This shepherd just experienced the Shekinah glory of God, and they were terrified. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." I just love it that the angels pronounce good news to all the people. And today that good news is still being preached. That is the good news I am preaching right now. Verse 11. Today the angels, or the angel rather, will go ahead and explain more about the good news. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, the Messiah, the anointed one. Verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, I just like it how suddenly the heavenly host, probably thousands of angels, were just praising God. And let us take a closer look at this prayer here, because there are three powerful messages that I want us to take away from here. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest heaven. Right away, The angels are worshiping God. They are praising God for this great news. That's the message number one that the angels told the shepherds, and they are praising God. Glory to God. And to earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Second message is peace. This Savior will bring peace. And the third one, his favor. Some translation say goodwill. So we see how at the birth of Jesus, we have three classic messages that are still ongoing today. Number one, praise to God for his love and goodness, that he would become a man in the person of Jesus Christ to reveal himself to us. Number two, peace. He brings peace, that supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that would later be demonstrated on the cross. Peace. And that peace of God that when you accept Jesus Christ and as Lord and Savior, you have peace with God. And the last, towards the end of that verse, there says, whom his favor rests. His favor, because God has favored us to come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, again, the messages, just to summarize here, number one, praise to God. Number two, peace that the Lord Jesus brings into this world. And number three, the favor of God over his creation, mankind. And that is still evident today. The Lord Jesus is still doing the same. We are still praising him and thanking him for dying on the cross for our sins. We still have his peace. As I mentioned earlier, when we come into that relationship with God through Christ, we have the peace of God. And then we have peace with God, and then we have his favor. Thank you, God. So moving on here in verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another. So the angels had praised the Lord and they disappeared into heaven. And the shepherds, boy, they are just amazed, filled with joy. They said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. I just love it how God in his goodness directed these shepherds, and they went and found it exactly as prophesied. Friend, is God telling you something today? Can you find it in his word as a promise? Trust God, it will come to pass. Just like we are seeing prophecies being fulfilled here. I listed some of them earlier. Bethlehem, it had been prophesied that the Messiah would be born there. And before I even continue, Bethlehem, I discussed this in the Old Testament teachings. Bethlehem means house of bread. And we know the Lord Jesus is the bread of life out of John 6:58. Isn't that awesome? He was born in the house of bread, and he is the bread of life. Thank you, God, that we can feed out of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled spiritually and even physically. Verse 16, so they, now this referring to the shepherds, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Right away, we are learning how the shepherds were the first evangelists ever. They spread the message about the Messiah being born. Verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Friend, we are called to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, just as these shepherds did. You see, angels are not called to spread the gospel. Angels are messengers of God. They relay messages from the throne of God to us. And today, of course, angels protect us. So we learned how the angels appear to the shepherds and relay this message to them, giving them specific instructions. And now the shepherds, following the instructions of the angel, found baby Jesus, and then they went and spread the message. Friend, we are called as children of God to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Are you doing that? You don't have to have a degree in ministry to do so. Just tell your neighbor what the Lord has done for you. Just tell the neighbor the circumstances that led you into this relationship with God through Christ, and trust the Holy Spirit to do the rest. That would be enough. Spread the good news about Jesus Christ. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary, just a teenager, she's seen all of this happening and she's pondering. That means meditate. She's meditating on these things. I'm meditating. I'm like, what is happening here? You see, Mary, being a teenager, didn't quite get a fuller revelation of the ministry of the Messiah. Of course, she had probably read about the Messiah from the Old Testament scriptures, but she didn't quite get a fuller revelation. And as these things were happening, she was meditating on these things and pondering on them. And of course, as the Lord Jesus would grow and start his ministry, I bet you the Holy Spirit will bring into Mary's remembrance all these things. And then Mary will gain a deeper understanding and revelation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So Mary pondered these things in her heart. Likewise, friend, when we are hearing from God, it could be studying the scriptures and getting a revelation from God, and we don't quite get it yet, we should ponder on it, meditate on it, and just give it time, because God, the Holy Spirit, will give us clarity. Glory to God. Okay? Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Glory to God. Verse 21, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Again, I had discussed this in the previous session in Luke 1:26 through 38, how the child should be called Jesus, meaning the Lord saves. So I want to end this session here because we've really learned a lot. And we will pick it up next time with verse 22, talking about how the Lord Jesus was presented in the temple. But for now, out of this verses here, Luke 2, verses 1 through 21. What are the major principles and applications we've learned? A lot. Number one, we've learned how the divine entered humanity. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ and was birthed into this world. So divine entered humanity. More of this is discussed in the Gospel of John 1, verses 1 through 14. That was God himself supernaturally, because of his love for his creation, mankind, supernaturally was birthed into this world in what we call Christmas. So when we celebrate Christmas, here's application here for this first principle. When we celebrate Christmas, we must know that Christmas, Christ Mass, Mass means celebration, Christ of Christ. We are truthfully celebrating the divine entering humanity because of the love of God. Christmas celebration is not to be taken lightly. Granted, the scripture doesn't tell us a specific date that the Lord Jesus was born. We don't know if it was December 25th. Many Bible scholars believe it was more around March or April. And I don't want to get into the whole notion how December 25th came about. We know that December 25th used to be a pagan holiday, and the church adopted that because December 25th was already a popular day that was celebrated by the pagans, and then the church adopted that and we called it Christmas. But please don't be offended because we celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th. Forget that. Think about the principle that divine entered humanity. The principle is the absolute truth that God became a man and was birthed into this world. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Just like the angels had said, it's a time of joy, praising God, a time of peace and thankfulness. So do you celebrate the birth of Christ? If not, please, I recommend you do. It's good for you because you would be giving praise and worship and thanks to God for coming into this world as a human being. Number two principle, prophecies are being fulfilled. We discussed that God is faithful. Here's the application. Whatever you are believing God for, He has revealed it to us in the scripture. His word, you can take them as prophecies and stand and trust God for deliverance because in His perfect time, things will manifest. Number three principle. I talked about the fact that Joseph and Mary had to travel about 100 miles and they encountered various challenges and difficulties. When we are in the middle of God's will, things won't be easy necessarily. When we run into challenges, we should not give up. It doesn't mean God is not with us. It means that we live in a fallen world. So if you have taken a step of faith today, embarking on a calling that you believe the Lord has placed in your heart, and you are running into challenges, don't give up. Trust and rely on the strength, wisdom, and power of God. In the same way that the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding Joseph and Mary, in likewise manner, God is there to lead and guide you, strengthen you, and provide more clarity. And then just as Mary pondered on the lessons you're learning in the journey. So God's will meet challenges, but God is there to help you overcome these challenges. Number four principle, I talked about the humility of God. Jesus was birthed into this world, no rooms available in the inn. He was placed in a manger and wrapped in cloth. God is humble. I talked about the shepherds who were engaging in their ordinary day and they encountered the Shekinah glory of God. Friend, God is so humble. No wonder. Humility is what God honors and pride God will not. Pride God will not elevate. And humility just means obeying God's, being submissive to His decrees, walking and living in the obedience of God. You choose God's ways, you choose God's decrees in His word above and beyond your own human reasoning. Because God has told us that we should not lean on our own understanding, we should trust Him. So we see the humility of God. God could have come into this world in some sophisticated way, but He came in a humble way and no room in the inn and being placed in a manger to teach us that He is humble. Okay? So let us learn to walk in humility by trusting God. And the fifth point I already mentioned, the ordinariness of God seen the way He appeared unto the shepherds. They were engaging in their day-to-day life. Likewise, call upon God in your day-to-day living. Call upon God in your day-to-day task that may appear mundane because God is available. God is an ever-present God. And the last principle here is so obvious. God is faithful. God is so faithful that if there's one attribute of God that should bring us so much comfort, God loves us. God loves us so much that God is love. God does not give love. God is love. So take advantage of that love and draw closer to God. And God is so faithful in His love that when He says something in His word and you stand on that promise, God will be certain that it comes to pass. Don't give up on God. God is so faithful. It is us who are not faithful, but God is faithful. So friend, today we have come to the end of this session in what is typically called the Christmas story. And I am just so happy that I was able to do this session right around Christmas time. So if you're listening to this on Christmas Day or Christmas week, Merry Christmas to you. A child is born unto the world, the Messiah. We are blessed, friend, that God loves us enough and is faithful to keep His word, that He came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ to deliver us from ourselves, to redeem us from the hands of the evil one, to reveal His nature to us. So friend, as we celebrate the birth of Christ into this world, let us know that it is a time of praise, It's a time of thanksgiving. It's a time of allowing the peace of God to saturate your heart. It is a time of joy. Christmas is real. Christmas deserves to be celebrated. We may not know the exact date. It doesn't matter. It's the principle that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to reveal his love and himself to us, so we can come into this relationship with him through Jesus Christ and live the best life that he has offered to us. For Jesus himself said, he came to give us life abundantly, exceedingly, until it overflows. Are you enjoying that life, friend? I want to give you an opportunity. If you have not invited Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to just explain this to you. If you've been listening to me, I have explained the supernatural conception. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus himself said that there is only one Savior, only one Messiah, the man Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died on that cross for you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever means anyone who is open and believe that Jesus Christ is the only Messiah. Jesus Christ was God 100%, man 100%. I already explained that. Man 100% because he was birthed into this world by a woman. God 100% because he was conceived by God, the Holy Spirit, making him divine 100%. He died on that cross. There is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12. He died for the sins of the world, 1 John 2:2. He died for you. Have you invited him into your heart? The Bible says if you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, you confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9. It's as simple as that. If you haven't done so, if you're not sure, could you just repeat after me? The most important thing is that you believe that in your heart. Just say, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Today, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ was God 100% and man 100%. He died on the cross for my personal sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. I ask you right now, I invite you to come into my heart and change me. I believe by faith you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you said that genuinely, based on the authority of God's perfect, infallible word, I declare you a follower of Jesus Christ, and the angels are rejoicing because you've come into this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you have been sealed instantly, supernaturally, by God the Holy Spirit out of Ephesians 1:13, and God knows you. Your destination is heaven upon your death, and the Holy Spirit will start to teach you, lead you unto all truths, and lead and guide you to live as an overcomer through Christ Jesus. Welcome into God's kingdom. Glory to God, Father God. I just pray for everybody who is listening to me right now. We thank you for the birth of Christ. We thank you for the peace that Christ has brought upon the world, for those who receive it. We thank you for the joy that Christ has brought into this world, for those who receive it. We give you all the glory. We thank you for Christmas celebration. I thank you for all the listeners that they are going to celebrate today, Christmas Day. We thank you that your joy and your peace rest in your heart. We are blessed that you love us. We are blessed that we can call upon you and you hear us. We thank you for you're such a good and faithful God. As all of the listeners go to celebrate Christmas and every day, may your peace reign in their heart. May your joy anchor their soul. I pray that you continue to lead and guide them unto all truths. Thank you, God, for I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, amen. God loves you, and Merry Christmas, Jesus. Jesus is born. Thank you for joining me today. Please, we ask that you listen to the announcer, open your heart to bless us with a one-time donation so we can produce more shows like this and reach many, many more people. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.